The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Space Oddity, starring
Lazra, Asimar, Warlock.
Gray, Minotaur, Valorbar.
Roxy, Wood Elf, Rogue, Druid.
Manpa 9, Auto Gnome.
Rune Knight.
Acting Captain's Log, Roxy, Wood Elf. Apparently this is something we do now. So this is not the first time I've crashed on a beach in a boat. Not the first time I've stumbled out of a mansion on the beach. But the first time they were the same thing, because the mansion had a boat on the roof and they fell out of the sky. Crazy world. Lucky for us, we wrecked beside a fully stocked resort run by hundreds of clones named Hillip. The clones are named Hillip. The resort is named Hillip's Fantasy. Never mind, I can't hear that music again. We've gotten a sweet deal where we drink for free and something about sales. I hope we don't bankrupt the clones, but they seem to really want these artifacts that were scattered on each island. Apparently some adventurers have no manners and they are wrecking the islands to get them. Nope, not having it. But en route to laying a trap, poor Lazar fell down a cliff into the surf by some really scary jagged rocks. But I'm gonna jump in, of course.
Hey, welcome back to episode 2 of Space Oddity, everybody. We are an actual play D&D podcast in the Spelljammer setting where four adventurers visit the worlds of other D&D podcasts under the guidance of that show's DM or GM. And here we have four regular cast members, starting on my right.
Hi, I'm Nahara Nishal. I play Roxy, your resident wood elf, rogue, and Circle of the Grasslands druid. And she, her for both Roxy and Nahara.
And to Nahara's right.
Nahara's right is, me, Joel. I play Gray, a minotaur who thinks he's a bard. I'm a he, him. He's a he, him.
I'm Janelle. I play Lazra, the Asimar warlock. Well, fallen Asimar warlock. She, her for both of us.
I'm Lindsay, he, him. I play Nanpa 9, autonome fighter, he, they. And with us, our guest DM for this arc.
Hey, it's me. I'm Russ Moore, he, him. Here to crush all of you in this first arc. That's what Lindsay said. He's like, actually, I don't really want to do this anymore. Could we just kill everybody in the first go?
Yeah, I wanted to leave early, so I crushed early on.
It's D&D or crunchy snacks, and she decided on crunchy snacks.
My bones being the crunchy snacks.
Cha-cha-cha.
Oh, my.
All right. Are we diving in?
Okay.
We left off with me falling to my death. Do I get a reaction?
Yep. Okay, so slip. Fall. You see sharp, jagged rocks coming towards you. I will give each of your three friends a moment to react to that to see if there's anything fun, cool, or helpful that they can do before you get your final option to try and save yourself, and then we'll see what happens.
You all hear me yelp very uncoolly, and then I'm just not there.
Well, what order should we go in, Russ?
Let's start with, Roxy and Gray have both made it across or are like taking their final leap in order to make it across. So you see, Lazra slip and fall. Nampa 9, you are paddling across on the water. So I'm going to say you're probably the closest and most likely to be able to react first. So let's go with Nampa 9. And then work out with Roxy and Gray.
Sure. So Nanpa is going to look up and see Lazara slip and start to fall towards these exposed rocks, which are, you know, in the water where Nanpa is. And he's going to do something that the rest of the party's never seen. As he's sort of speeding along, swimming along with his little paddle wheels, he's going to take his arms and unscrew his eyes from his head and pop them and his mustache off. He's going to Mr. Potato Head them down onto his belly and pull his fez down over his head. So he's now a giant head floating in the water with two little paddle wheels. Then you hear a loud pop, and his trackball inflates out below him like an airbag, and his head rises into the air a little bit. Suddenly, Nanpa 9 is a 12-foot-tall Michelin man, and what used to be his body is now his head. He's going to say,
I got you, Lazara.
This is horrifying. And this is scarier than the rush.
stretch out an inflated, galvanized rubber arm to try to catch Lazara before she falls on the rocks.
Okay, what was in that whiskey he had?
What does that sound like?
What is the, which part, the popping sound like?
And then the arm?
That just sounds just an arm, man. It's not stretching yet. He's just got a big old long arm. He's not going to Mr. Fantastic it out yet.
Make a dexterity check. Probably straight dex for Nanpa 9.
All right. Not something he's so good at. Uh-oh.
He used the Foley dice. So we'll see how this goes.
Seven.
Okay. So this amazing scene with Nanpa 9 happens. Taking away just like a half second of reaction for Roxy and Gray. But now you see like, it doesn't look like Nanpa 9's going to make it in time. You can either do something to assist Nanpa 9 in getting to Lazara quicker, or you can do something to soften or prevent Lazara's fall. Either of you can go in whichever order you see appropriate.
I mean, I'm a Minotaur. I'm pretty good at just jumping after, like dashing after shit. But how close can I do? Can I successfully navigate my way to the ground to dash after her and try to catch her? Or is the distance from these platforms, like, I don't know what that is.
If you wanted to try that, you could make your way back out onto the platforms and try and like dive, like tuck and roll into the water. It's not really a platform to land on as it's like waves crashing in.
I mean, I'm a little tougher than her. Roxy's faster. Do we have time to talk or no time to communicate between Roxy and her?
Real world conversation of 3 seconds to try and figure it out and go.
My initial thing is to also jump in the water after her.
So I let her.
Okay. Perfect.
And while she does that, I'm going to strangely bust out my bird pipe and start to imitate the sounds of the birds on the island, which I'm going to use to cover the sounds of us crashing all over the place in where these adventures are. So I'm going to try to perform the sounds of the bird island birds into the big echoey cave to cover up the noise of us trying to make sure that she doesn't.
Okay.
Die.
Love it.
Nice.
For Roxy, are you using a specific skill or are you just want to try and like acrobatic?
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to jump in. I'm swimming after her. I'm going to try my very best to get her. But if she does in fact hit a rock, I have the ability to do a healing word.
Let's do this. Nanpa sees you starting to jump, and he reaches out his other arm and says, I'll give you a boost.
All right.
And we'll maybe combine.
Love it. So roll acrobatics or athletics with advantage, and then give me a performance roll from Gray.
Now, isn't just to say this is not the bagpipes.
You did
I
say
just
bird
want to announce pipes. That. I want the dice to hear it.
And I got, is that a 7? No.
With advantage too.
Well, it's still not very good.
No.
It's a 13.
17.
Awesome. Okay. Bird song coming out in echoing into the cave. You hear from within the cave, the birds are back again. Gah. And Nanpa, you propel Roxy forward and you're able to grab and deflect the fall that Lazara is taking, and you splash down into the water with her. Neither of you take any damage for that. You all climb, swim back up to the surface and climb aboard this new flotation device that Nampon 9 is, and make your way over to the platform where Gray is serenading the adventurers inside.
God, you made that look so easy, Gray. Why didn't you warn me?
I'm busy playing the bird pipes.
Now that you're all up there, a big wide open cave that narrows towards the back. Roxy, you saw the group kind of go into and further in. You can hear their echoing voices complaining about the birds and saying, I think I see something up here.
Nanpa's going to say to the rest of the party, this only lasts for 1 minute. I think we have to go in heavy.
Hold on.
I was going to say we go in lazy, wait for them to come out with treasure, and then just take it from them.
That's not actually a bad idea. We could, like, ambush them?
Nanpa's starting to slightly deflate as we're having this conversation.
Maybe they'll be worn out already, and then it'll be easier for us.
Russ, can we see them?
You can't see them from your vantage point. You can hear muffled conversation that makes it sound like they have found something. You don't know exactly what they've found.
Work smart, not hard, Nampa.
And do you? I'm looking to see if I can get around without them. I'm not Nampa. I'm thinking. I want to get a, if I can. I'm not a very sneaky fella. So, you know, sneakiness is not, there's a limit, I understand. But I've got a Crown of Madness spell, which would help us get rid of them by getting rid of each other if I could see them to cast it.
Let's do something to get them out here before I completely deflate. How about that? And ambush them.
Okay. So you want to sneak in. You know the D beside stealth means disadvantage, right?
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Okay, good,
so
good,
I'm
good.
I'm not sure. You know what? Here's the thing. Even if it fails, at least they'll be coming.
Yeah, that's true. Got it. So, okay, roll stealth with disadvantage to see what kind of ground you can make up before they hear you.
All right. I don't know how to do it with disadvantage, so I'll just roll it twice.
Roll it twice. Take the worst.
Yeah. My first one. Well, that's going to be almost the worst. Let's see how bad the second one is. It's a 5 and then a 17, so it's obviously the 5.
Yeah. So I imagine, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but Gray like turns, puts like the finger to his lips, and then proceeds to clang into the cave, drum like beating with things on his sides. You hear as you're getting like partway there, like, hey, what was that? There's a few footsteps making their way towards you. Do you do anything before they round any sort of bend to be able to see them?
Do I do anything? I mean, be able to see. I got to see them to cast a spell on them.
Two of them come quickly around the corner. You hear their footsteps. And around the bend, there are two humans, one with comb over kind of vibe. The other one who's shaved completely bald. And they like, hey. What are you doing here?
Wait a minute. Did you hear the one? I'm gonna use a joke to try to cast Tasha's hideous laughter on the blonde one. Did you hear the one about the priest, the cleric, and the rabbit who come into a bar? And the rabbit says, I think I'm a typo. And at least Tasha's hideous laughter worked on you guys.
Okay, I got a wisdom save on that one, I believe. Yes?
Yeah.
That's a 12.
I needs a 13.
They lose. So yeah, the blonde one begins to laugh hysterically, and his buddy kind of turns and looks at him and says, like, "What's the? That's not funny." And he draws a crossbow and is going to try to shoot at you.
What a bitch!
Right. That's going to be a 17 to hit.
Ouch! Yeah, that hits me.
Alrighty then. And only 3 piercing damage as this crossbow bolt flies through the air. Let's roll for initiative.
5.
18.
11.
That's a 7 for Nanpa.
Crossbow bolt flies through the air. Blonde one is laughing hysterically, like clutching his sides down on the ground. You hear more footsteps coming from inside the cave. Gray, you are up first. You've got this bolt in your shoulder.
Yeah, I've also got a crossbow.
However, you are going to need to roll a concentration check for Russ because you were concentrating on Tasha's hideous laughter and you took damage.
God, you're so such a stickler for the rules, Lindsay.
What do I got to roll? Lindsay wants me to die.
Just roll a d20 and hope you roll above a 10.
Roll a d20, says the guy who's not the dungeon master.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it fails. Thanks, Lindsay.
What did you
roll? I rolled a 5. I don't even know why I rolled it. Some guy told me to do it.
He's still laughing for some reason. Maybe he really did like the joke.
It's a good joke. Yeah, it was a great joke. Since it's my turn to fight people, I also have a crossbow. So I'm going to shoot him. I say, oh, we're playing crossbows? Okay. And I shoot him.
Give it to me.
I guess I have to roll to hit him, though, don't I?
I would like that, yes. That's the one d20 you got to roll.
All right, what do we got? Oh, my God. Why am I rolling dice? I got a 6.
So a crossbow bolt pings off of the cave inside and misses. Anything else you can or would like to do on your turn?
I can do like a bonus action, right?
Yeah, you got a bonus action, you got movement and free action, which could include yelling to your friends or taking a drink or doing anything else you would like to do.
Kill these guys.
All right.
Awesome. Roxy, you're up next.
I'm coming in with a longbow, and I'm like, it's early, and I got a hankering for some action.
Yeah, Roxy's by the mouth of the cave with the longbow teed up. The two others, there's two women who come around the corner. They've got like, one of them has like a scar from the top of her head down to the side of her face. Other has long flowing hair and like her face is partly shielded, but they come around the corner as well. So you've got 4 potential targets.
All right. Who's closest? That's who I'm going for.
Would be one of the two men. So the blonde-haired one is still on the ground, prone. Other one is standing up with a crossbow in his hand.
Okay, I'm going to go. I want to go a crossbow guy.
Okay.
If I can knock him out, then we're good.
Yep. Awesome.
Longbow it is. Oops! 9.
Arrows are flying around this cave. There's hitting off of rocks, deflected off of armor. Two that entered, they draw their swords and get in front of the man who is prone on the ground and draw their shields as well. They hold position there. And we'll go to Nampa 9. You'd be next.
Nanpa's going to yell, I thought we weren't going in heavy, and start to run into the cave. He's starting to slump a little bit as he's starting to deflate. So he's making like a little squishing sound. Which of the two frontliners looks the beefiest of the sword and shield folks?
Would be on your left. There is one woman, as described, with the scar on her face. Yep.
Okay, Nanpa's going to yell, it's throttling time, and drop his club and try to grapple this woman with the scar on the left.
Okay.
Or around the neck, I guess.
Okay. So you're trying to grapple, so straight strength?
That's a strength check, and I get advantage because I am a giant right now. And thank God
awesome.
It was with advantage because the lower dice was a 1. That is a 14.
Okay, you're grappling them with the intent to take them to the ground, knock them prone?
Yes.
You do so. You leap across and grab them by the neck, which their shield and sword get kind of tossed to the sides and clank down onto the stones beside you. They are now prone beneath you in this grapple, and they're trying to like just pound against the surface to get it out of this grapple. They are not successful, though. Anything else you would like to do?
So I've got this person around the neck and they're pushed mm-hmm. on the ground.
Yeah.
I'm going to start to sort of drag her back towards the prone person.
So you're trying to drag them back towards the blonde-haired individual?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you're beginning to drag him back a little further into the cave.
Great.
Lazra.
Okay, so there's two prone at the moment.
Yes, one man holding a crossbow, one woman holding a shield and sword. Looks like a long sword.
Okay, and then there's two that are still standing.
Yeah.
Is the guy who's standing, he's not shielded?
Not shielded, no.
Okay, so is Gray large enough for me to go behind him for cover?
I think so. Yeah?
I'm medium.
6'5".
I'm 6'5".
Yeah, you're both technically medium, but like I would presume that Gray is pretty wide across, being a minotaur. So yeah, absolutely.
Okay, yes, I'd like to get behind him, use him as cover, and stick my little hand out to Eldritch Blast, the crossbow guy that's still up.
Amazing, I love it.
It's a 15.
I like this, and I also don't like this.
15 hits.
Nice, okay. That's 9 force damage.
Describe to me what your Eldritch Blast looks like.
It's kind of this grayish white light, and when it hits, these kind of stars burst out. It sounds like glitter. I can't make that sound.
Don't ask me. I'd have to do it with bagpipes.
You know what glitter sounds like.
Eldritch Blast flies out and rings through the cave towards him and explodes, and glitter goes everywhere. Like it's an actual tangible glitter that is now in everything, and everybody hates it because it's glitter.
That's where the damage comes from.
I'm going to make... he is hit in the chest and is knocked back by the force and is on the ground writhing and yelling out, "Oh, somebody get them!"
Behind Gray, I'm going, "Yes!"
All right, we're back to the top, and it is Gray's turn.
Well, we've got two down, three that have been taken to the ground, and one that's still standing. Are they shielded, not shielded? I just like to ask because it sounded like a smart question.
Yeah, for sure. So there are three prone now. The one remaining standing is the woman guard with the shield and sword.
What's our distance?
You were making your way up to them, so no more than like 20 feet.
Could I get to them for a hammering horn to horn her?
You can go horn her, yep.
Let's horn her. But I have a crossbow in my hands, so I think I'm just going to horn her. I can unarmed strike her and then horn her.
Yeah. Well, you also have horns as an attack action too, right?
All
right,
so let's attack her with the horns and then whack her with the horns.
Love it. So yeah, you charge forward. Give me a roll to attack.
A 6. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's bad.
What I will give you there, though, is because you're charging forward, like it doesn't make sense that you would completely miss them. You might miss skewering them with your horns, but give me a strength check, just straight strength, to see if you can disrupt their shield position or their stance.
Sure. A 22.
Okay.
That's a natural 20 plus 2.
Yeah, so while you miss with the gore that you're trying to do, you knock into their shield, which knocks back, and they stumble back as they were kind of down on one knee and are now in a seated position trying to scramble back up. No shield in hand anymore.
Cool.
Yeah. Roxy.
Okay, now that he's knocked this person onto their butt, I want to walk up to them with this longbow and I say, "Hello there."
Hi. You guys here for the artifact too?
Yeah, we'll give it away.
Well, I mean, your call, you're trying to sneak in after us, your abrupt attacks right out of the gate, like without even conversation. It seems like you're unreasonable.
Well, we didn't start out that way. We had plans to be all nice and civil. You guys came in defending yourselves, so now we're here.
From behind one of the men who's knocked down, I did hit them with a crossbow.
That guy.
Maybe initiated this. I'm sorry. We're new at this. We thought maybe we could take a stab at it.
Don't worry. You gave it a good shot, though.
Do you like the bagpipes?
My mother played bagpipes. You used to lull me to sleep.
Hold on.
Are you playing the bagpipes again?
So as this is happening, Nanpa's going to grab another of the prone people, the blonde guy, I guess, with his other arm, which is suddenly getting like softer and more rubbery as he deflates and just sort of pin him down and just whisper in his ear. Now we're all prone together.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big open cave. I think we need some really soporific bagpipe music.
Time for bedtime with bagpipes.
Just don't make a cave in,
How
man.
How about we let this all slide if you guys just agree that we should have the cave to ourselves?
Of course, yeah. You can have the cave to yourself. There was a passageway with like a treasure chest down further in. We didn't quite break into it yet, but it's all yours. You can have everything in the treasure chest.
Wait a minute.
Insight.
Yeah. Right, like. I mean, don't trust the motherfuckers. What do I roll for that?
Insight. Yeah. For whoever would like to. Yeah.
I'd like to. I'm just a man who rolls 11s, though, so I'm not to be listened to.
As Nanpa is, you know, is sort of lying on the ground in order to reach both of these people that he's pinning down, and he rolls his head over towards the person who was just talking, and his pince-nez starts to glitter with this sort of circuit board that's traced on it. And one of his runes, a stone rune, gives him advantage on insight checks.
Love it.
I'm trying to make sure I'm not lying.
Well, you're trying to figure out if he's lying or not.
Because I'm looking on Gray's character sheet. I'm like, how am I? I'm totally just made this up.
Get off of my sheet.
All right.
Wait, you did all that before you rolled?
Yeah, man. Oh. That's building dramatic tension.
No, you're a good player.
16.
Yes, you get a distinct sense that while he's being truthful that you can have whatever you want from inside the treasure chest, you get a feeling that there might actually be nothing in the treasure chest based on his tone.
I don't want to accuse anyone here of being a thief, but who wants to check his pockets?
I'll do it.
Since he's prone and underneath Nampon 9, there's no real role. You can check his pockets and his bags. And you go in and you find exactly what you were looking for, which I'm going to, here's some page turning for you. I'm sorry. you check his pockets. You find several things. You find a small vial that has three, what look like candies in them, like white candies. In the bag, you find very quickly the mace, the ball mace. You reach in, you kind of poke yourself. You're like, it hurts a little bit. And then you pull it out, and that's what you were looking for on this island. But you also find a pommel, which is very similar to the one in the picture that the Hillip gave you back at the entrance island.
We don't want to leave them here with, you know. They could.
No, I know, but we got to do something to him.
Here.
You're going to take everything? Like.
But we're going to give you a chiclet. And Nanpa's head swivels back and he pulls three chiclets out and he hands them to all but the blonde guy.
Thank you. We worked hard for those, but that's okay. I mean, as long as you're not going to kill us. Everybody's popping the chiclets. These are very tasty.
Thanks. The real treasure is the friends you made along the way.
And the bagpipes. I mean.
Yes, you should play the bagpipes
I think it's time to play the bagpipes.
You can play the bagpipes if you wish to. Roll performance. See if you can lull at least one of them to sleep. Because his mom did it.
I mean, some people, when they panic and they get nervous, they just fall asleep.
What's the opposite of the help action?
I don't know, but I rolled a 12. It said it was going to be a nat 20, and then it fell over onto an 8.
That's the opposite of the help action.
No.
Yep. Even with a 12, well, the other three aren't really, don't really seem affected. You know, as people would normally feel when they hear bagpipes played in a large open cave, the other guy, it's like this like single tear begins to roll down his eye, and he just closes his eyes and just kind of drifts off to sleep.
Good night, sweet prince.
It's like the scene in Ratatouille where he has the flashback into like his mother's cooking.
That movie is remarkably violent at the beginning with gas masks and shotguns.
I can't get through that movie without getting like creeped out because it's rats, man. It's rats in a kitchen.
Dude, I saw a rat outside before we started this. I saw a rat that was so big I thought we would have to redefine the animal. I thought it was a new species.
This is a proudly Crown Heights-centric podcast. Three of the cast lives in Brooklyn. Anywhere Comics here in Brooklyn.
No, the comic book store is great.
It's a great comic book store.
Yeah. I have rats on my street. Really? I'm not against rats. I'm just saying this was a particular like specimen of a rat. It's not endemic to the neighborhood.
So at this point, Nanpa is on the ground like a camping mattress when you wake up in the morning. And it's just all the air has gone out of it. So he's starting to roll himself up back into his head, pop his head fez up.
You take the newfound items that you have. Presumably you have two of them that you were looking for because these guys did a little bit of the work for you. And also the vial of the white candies, if you choose to take those.
If I made an arcana check, might I have any sense of what those are?
Yeah, absolutely. You can maybe discern if there is any sort of magical properties to them.
Okay. Wow. I should just stick to the bagpipes.
Oh no.
I rolled a nat one, which I would call a three, but I know it's a nat one.
They look kind of like breath mints is what they look like
breath
to
mints.
You.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So you have the pommel, which the pommel itself is a if you look at the image, is a carved shrunken head that fits up onto the hilt. The mace itself, very mace, is a ball with spiky pointy things out of it.
Nanpa's going to grab the mace and just sort of test its balance as we roll out of the cave.
It's perfectly balanced. Yeah.
I mean, I don't trust these guys. Just to say, we should stay suspicious. I mean, do we tie them up and throw them in the ocean?
We can tie them up, but not – that'd be –
Well, we told the Kenku we'd get them off this island.
Yeah, we should take them with us. Let's get them back to Helips.
Let's take them to another island.
I agree with Janelle.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Would you be interested in a job in the towel industry?
Does it pay well?
No.
It pays better than us killing you.
Yes.
You're a good salesperson. You know what? Let's go try it out. Why not?
All right.
All right. Resident negotiator Nanpa.
You all make your way back through the Kenku's village, and they stop, and the two that you were speaking with before come rushing over to you, and that was very fast. Did you find what you were looking for?
Yeah, we got it. Good luck with all those holes, hopefully. Now you can tell people the artifacts are gone.
Oh.
Which, I mean, you could have been telling them the whole time.
You see, kind of in the background there, there's several Kenkus that just kind of slap their hands to their face. But beside them, there's a big sign that they're painting that says, no artifact here anymore.
Let's give them each give them a take so they can say it in a different voice and really convince people. There's no artifacts here.
There's no artifacts here.
Wow, this artifact I'm taking with me sure is great.
I'm gonna play them a bagpipe song. Now there are no artifacts on this island. The island has been stripped of all artifacts by hardy adventurers.
The sound of bagpipes begins to again chorus out through the entire space, and there's this chanting of "There's no artifacts anymore." And this good artifact that I'm taking is really great.
Can I roll a performance check just because I want to know what I'm leaving them with?
Yeah,
I don't really want to succeed. I just want to know if there's. 14.
I mean, that's no the best you've it. Done so far.
I know, it's sad, right?
Better, getting better. We support you and your improvement.
Thank you.
They lead you back to the ship where Flamekins is waiting for you, and they present you with a headpiece. It has this kind of white glow to it. It has feathers all through it, and they hand it to you as you are boarding the ship and say, "Birds no longer poo on you."
Really?
They nod their head really quickly and usher it towards you.
That's amazing. This is so valuable.
They've gifted you with a heavenly headpiece. It is a fine hat, and magically, birds will refuse to shit on you. The hat can also summon 1d20 spectral pigeons per day.
Oh, well, there's that. I really want that hat.
You can have it, Gray.
Really?
You're the tallest. So I think you're the most at risk.
I spend my life in the trees, so I know how to avoid them.
You know, when they said this island was called Ka-Ka-Ka, I thought, really, we'd all be shat on all day.
Well, it was us who did the shitting on.
And Nanpa swivels his head up to look at one of the four adventurers they've captured and says, "Yeah, it was us that did the shitting on."
Which calls for a song. To immortalize this, it is us who did the shitting.
More ale!
Hail up, whiskey! And he looks at the blonde guy and says, "By the way, you're Hillip now. Please find us some whiskey on this boat."
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can be a Hillip. Okay. Yeah, you got it. He runs down and beneath the surface and brings back whiskey for you. Flamekins turns and says, "All right, next island, where are we headed to? Let's see.
Let's go."
Right.
Well, do we know which one was supposed to have the shrunken head? So let's not go there. Yeah.
This one had the shrunken head.
Well, this one was
the mace, and then they also had the shrunken head, so you no longer need to go to Paldir.
Paldir. All right. So what's left? We got Dragon Killus Island.
Holger's Isle, Dragon Isle, and Fang Rocks.
Well, Tiny's an ogre. Let's go to Ogre Island.
Tiny is an orc, you racist. And he's a hamster.
I mean, you say orc, I say ogre.
He's not an ogre.
He's an ogre. Half ogre, three quarters ogre. It's all an ogre to me.
We might want to avoid the rocks because we almost lost Lazra.
Yeah, let's
not
go anywhere with rocks.
I mean, I'll go anywhere with you, rocks.
If we ever name a drink after me, I want it to be called a Lazar on the Rocks.
Of course.
Nanpa turns to the new Hillip and says, "Did you hear that? Oh, by the way, you are getting paid. We are not, you know, impressing you into a life of servitude without a good paycheck."
No, that's fine. We were just always looking, trying to make ends meet and join the adventurers, you know, that are out in the world. It's getting treasures.
Can we get rid of these NPCs before we go to the next island?
Yeah, no problem. I don't want to do that many voices. Flamekin swings by Hillip's Island where you drop off these four adventurers and they depart into and it's like swarmed in by Hillips who are
we get drink refills from the Hillips.
Drink refills happen and you head back out.
Remember, we want your finest mixologist to design a Lazar on the Rocks.
Yeah, Lazar on the Rocks. You hit the high seas again, and you said you wanted to go to Ulger's Isle.
Yeah.
So you're looking for the blade here. The blade is what you're searching for. You travel for the better part of a day, and you make it to. You see it up on the distance, and Flamekins begins to describe what you're about to see, and she says, "Well, Ogre's Isle is it's a volcano island, and it's always covered in molten hot magma. The blade is said to be somewhere deep inside the volcano. There's a blacksmith there who works in the hottest forge around. You just gotta make it."
Seems like calling this Burning Hot Lava Island would have been a lot more truth in advertising.
Yeah, the person who found it, his name was Olger, and he didn't want to have it, not associated with his own name, because everybody around here is, like, trying to stake a little bit of claim in something that they've got going down, trying to just make sure that their name lives on for years, passing down lineages and all that sort of stuff. Anyways, it's a volcano.
Are there ogres on it?
Are there ogres on it? No, no.
So we're here under entirely false pretenses. Oh, well.
Yeah, there's no ogres here. Ogre. Ogre. U-L-G-A-R. Yeah.
Oh, I see. We all did not hear that L. Oh.
Nanpaw stuffs Tiny a little deeper into the pocket and says, you can set this one out, bud.
I was ready to come at him. You tell me when there's ogres there. I will come fight him.
I still don't know why you want to fight your own, Tiny. Make peace with the ogres, Tiny. Make peace with the ogres.
Yeah, right. Don't scratch their eyes out.
I think to prepare, we should all play The Floor is Lava on the boat.
Oh, I thought I'd have to play that on the bagpipes, which I would do. The floor is lava, the lava is the floor, the floor is lava, the lava is the floor.
Nanpa's so bad at it, he's trying to track ball around on the rail of the boat and keeps falling off.
Nanpa, no!
I mean, we could just call the game Nanpa's Melting. It's the tune of London Bridges. It's very nice.
I love it. So as you dock to this island, which there is no real dock, as it's mostly either is various states of lava and magma and hardened lava, Flamikins puts you down into a little dinghy and lowers you to the water, and you make your way over to the island, where you see up in the distance the giant volcano. There are several caves where lava is kind of pouring out, and some where it's like super hot, but doesn't appear there's active flow. So this is going to be the risk of failure, is that you burn up in lava, but it's going to be a skills challenge. So before you are various lava geysers, tunnels, other sharp rocks that you could fall onto. Watch out, Lazra. But you're going to describe to me something that your character does to help your group across that will make your way closer to. And if we have more successes than failures, you will make it without taking a whole lot of damage by the time you make it to the center of this volcano.
Can I just leave my armor on the boat, sort of seeing what we're getting into? I feel like the armor is not going to do me much good.
Yeah, for sure. Retroactively, we just tuck it below ship.
Sure.
Flamikin says she'll watch over it, shine it up for you while you're out there.
Nanpa can't leave his armor on the boat.
So removing your armor, Gray, will, if there is any stealth involved, you would no longer have disadvantage with that.
Sure.
So Nanpa has proficiency in water vessels. So he is, as they're rolling and walking along, going to borrow ropes from everyone and start to tie them together to make a slightly better, easier way for people to get across this area.
Tying ropes together to make, sorry, from the, what are you tying the ropes to?
No, he's just tying ropes together right now to make one giant rope to, when we get to an obstacle, be able to use
it. Got it. Okay. Yeah, you have, if everybody has ropes, that's probably 50, probably 200 feet of rope.
Yes.
I would assume. Okay. Yeah. You dock up to get as close to without coming into contact with any lava, and make your way up onto this dried portion of the shore. Before you is, like I said, a couple of these open caverns. There appears to be geysers of lava shooting up along the way. And what do you want to do? You can go in any order you like.
Lazarus going to pray fervently.
Sure.
Nanpa is going to, I guess, wrap the rope around kind of his shoulders and body and hand the other end to the next person. He goes, I'll go first. Pull me back if I geyser shoots off underneath me.
Okay. We'll use Lazra, your prayer as a first. You're trying to grant at least some sort of luck capacity to bestow upon your group. So make a religion check.
22.
Love it. Hard success there.
Yeah, I come from a church that's very close to the ocean and ocean adjacent deities. So I'm very at home here, and I'm praying to Leviathan to help us. Hopefully something answers.
Yeah, so as if out of nowhere, like this wave rolls up. It doesn't seem large at first, but rolls out like through your feet and around you, and makes the pathway. The steam begins to rise up off of this, making it less of a narrow pathway, and widens the pathway that you have in order to make it further into this island.
Oh my God, Leviathan is real. Goat bless.
I love it.
you're able to walk further into this island, the four of you proceeding forward. You make it to one of these dormant tunnel system openings that you would presume lead further into the volcano itself, or there appears to be a rocky pathway that kind of wraps around the edge of this, leading further up the volcano.
Is it big enough for me and Nampa on the rocky ledge? Is it large enough for us?
Observing it, it looks wide enough that the two of you could proceed. It does look like it is not entirely stable in certain areas.
Nanpa is going to, the only thing he's really good at are athletics. And again, he's got a few proficiencies, random proficiencies. He's going to try to jump across some of these areas that look less stable. And he does that by sort of like sucking in his trackball and kind of bouncing on it as hard as he can. He's going to try to get across an unstable area and then, you know, haul people with the rope.
Okay. Are you going to tell us to that, or are you just going to go do it?
You've seen him kind of jump like this before. So you see him sort of rolling to the front and lowering himself on his carriage.
I'd love to get some bardic inspiration going and sort of give you a little theme music for your jumping.
For sure.
I'd like to help you out.
You see him sort of settling down on his caboose.
Get into the groove. We don't own that music. We won't use that music.
He's swaying back and forth, and he says, "That makes my caboose loose," and pops up into the air.
Okay.
It's the relaxed entry point we were talking about.
Yeah. What skill do you want to use for this there?
Athletics.
Okay. And you would have bardic inspiration, as I understood. So
okay, that's a 16, so I'm going to hold on to the bardic.
Yeah, for sure, that'll work. So it works flawlessly, and you're able to proceed forward. You roll along in some of the you're going along the ledge,
yep,
right?
Yep, and he's just sort of popping up like those those little spring figures that you push down with the suction cup, and bing! He just springs up over the loose spot and then tries to tie the rope and pull people across.
Love it. Yeah, you absolutely do that and anchor the rope as it goes so that if anybody kind of slips, they grab themselves and you proceed into at the end of this this pathway that you lead to. It wraps around into this tunnel or this cave system. There is an intense heat that's coming out of it. Everybody make a constitution saving throw. Nampar, would you be affected by being a robot of sorts?
Not with a 21 on my con save.
All right.
Perfect. I rolled a 7 because I can't roll dice.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
I also wanted to say, I think Lazra has trauma from falling off ledges and such. So she has pitons in her adventuring gear, so she would have just taken those out and just be holding on to them. Just so, like, in case of accident, she has something she can dig into.
Love it. Yeah. With Nanpa's help, you make it across. But yeah, it is a little bit more shaky, having given your recent experience. And as you all get to it, Nanpa, you sense the heat. Your sensors are elevating. Your temperature levels are rising. And everybody else, like, you lose your breath. And you're going to take just one... there's no heat damage, but like fire damage, essentially, from this heat wave just pouring out. So you have a cave system before you. It appears to be the only way to go. There's this intense heat that appears to be draining you. Is there? We've got We've got Gray and we've got Roxy, who haven't done anything yet. Is there anything you can do to help proceed forward?
You know, I do have heroism, which is normally used in combat, but it helps. It increases people's hit points for a brief period of time. And could I use it in this way to help people have a little more solidity underneath them while we're going into this dangerous situation?
Yeah, yeah, I love that.
So I could target one additional creature with a slot of second level or higher, right? So I can target two people. And yep. I think the weakest of our – I think that Janelle is probably the most susceptible. So I'd target her. And I think Roxy is second most susceptible in terms of like overall toughness.
Yeah.
Nanpa has opened some louvers on his side. And just radiate. It's actually, you see a radiator under there. It's actually literally radiating out heat.
Awesome. What does it look like as you cast heroism?
It's just, you know, I've got the drums out. The bagpipes have sent everybody to, they just don't like the bagpipes. So I'm not doing that. But I'm getting a nice, solid, you know, rhythm going, finding the sounds of the cave and the real echoey construct of the cave that we're in, right? We're in a large tubular cave. Lava flow cave?
Yep.
And I just want to find a rhythm that sort of resounds in that and keeps it going. Something that sounds almost like a timbre, like an Irish drum.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's echoing off of the sides and almost you feel, Roxy and Lazra, you feel a sense of rejuvenation. Like you still feel the heat, but you feel like you're able to proceed further into this. Based on your current modifier there, you each gain 3 temporary hit points. At the start of each turn, when the spell ends, target loses any remaining temporary hit points. So yeah, as long as that's going, you get those 3 hit points there. And it's like the heat wave around you is dissipating a little bit based on this music that's being put forth into the cavern, which allows you to proceed further in. As you get inside, you make it to this, it narrows to this long bridge that opens up and looks like it extends out over this lava pit. It is narrow, it is crumbling in parts, and as you reach it, you hear a loud echoing, like rumble coming from behind you. Like something has exploded, and there is a glow of the red-orange glow of lava coming in behind you.
Oh, we gotta go. This isn't good. Nanpa's gonna be holding the 200-foot rope again, and he's just going to speed across the land bridges as fast as he can.
Okay. Make a dexterity check.
Again, not his. Oh, but he's still got Bardic. All right. That is a 19.
Love it. So yeah, Nanpa first to go out, rope kind of unraveling behind him, speeds out and across as you turn and look and you see this lava flow beginning to move down towards you. What do the other three of you do?
And I do think that Nanpa looks like one of those office desk toys where the round big ball bearing slides on the, you know, slides in a little cradle.
My immediate instinct is to grab Lazarus and just start running.
Okay.
I know she's smaller than me, but I just want to grab her and let's just, like, keep running.
Awesome.
I do feel more confident if Roxy's holding my hand.
make dex. So just straight dex or acrobatics, even if that gives you a bonus.
Yeah.
To make you and Lazra make it across.
Oh, I got a 5?
She does have a rope.
Sorry.
You said with the advantage?
Yeah.
You said with advantage?
Yeah.
Okay, I hope it's better than 5.
I got you, Roxy. How the turntables.
Oh my god. I trip on the rope.
Okay, you grab Lazra. Lazra's feeling very confident with you proceeding forward. It's like, yeah, now I've got somebody to help me across all these bridges and side things that keep getting thrown in our way. And your feet get moving so fast, your feet get tangled up in the rope. Gray, you see them begin to stumble and are rolling across this bridge, wrapping themselves up in the rope.
I mean, I'm fairly strong. I mean, if I can do it on an athletics check, I'll just try to stop them and carry them both across.
This is what happens when you don't pray to Leviathan, Roxy.
Yeah, you know, I'm strong. I can charge like a bull, so I might as well try to...
In the trees.
It's an elf in a small, you know, Asimov. Yeah. They're small enough for me to pick up.
Love it. Yeah, roll athletics.
Thankfully, I didn't have to do it with bagpipe, so it's a 23.
Amazing. So the scene plays out. The two of you tumble and are rolling and getting tangled up. You're losing your stance and your ability to kind of keep your pace going. Gray runs in behind and like scoops you up in his arms as this lava flow explodes into this room, closing the path behind you. You all make it across to the other side. As this bridge is like collapsing down behind you, like there's the explosion. And it's like cool guys don't look at explosions kind of vibe as you leap across and roll. And Nampa Nines has been there for a while because they bolted out ahead of you.
Oh, I'm looking at it from my ladder burrito, from my rope burrito. Big eyes.
The lava is filling up the pool of even more lava beneath you, and it's rising and getting a little bit higher. You turn and you hear the sound of loud clanging coming echoing down the tunnel that's before you. And I think if I timed it right, that's where we end that episode.
Awesome.
Woo-hoo!
With a mystery, not a cliffhanger.
That's right. Well, I can't end two on the same, oh, you're falling into something cliffhangers.
It's four episodes of Lazarus Falls.
It's not your fault if we keep falling into things.
That's true.
When we claim an island here, I want to name it Lazarus Falls.
And it'll be covered in ogres.
Yeah.
It's a
sanctuary for ogres.
Lazarus on the Rocks is the only drink that is served.
Sorry, in Lazarus Falls, we drink Lazarus on the Rocks. No, we don't have martinis.
Does this mean I can eat a Triscuit?
Yes, it's time. It's Triscuit time. Yay! Yeah. See everybody next week.
Crunchy popcorn. No.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Russ.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Now playing from Voyage Media.
A naked woman picked up the recently decapitated head of a goat that had been sitting in a large silver-colored bowl. She held the goat's head high above hers, its dull black eyes staring emptily as she threw her black hair and allowed the blood to trickle down the front of her body.
When the lights go down, what stories really stick with you? Presenting Fever Dreams, an anthology of dark genre stories, horror, crime, sci-fi.
My eyes settled on a crystal piece, the only thing hanging on any of the walls. A man's face, set inside a raging sun. The eyes started to glow.
Now playing from Voyage Media. In association with Seven Lamb Productions, creators of the hit audio drama Tower 4, a new descent into darkness in every episode. Season 1 of Fever Dreams, a pulp collection, available anywhere you listen to podcasts.